Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
But we're going to hear from some dads. And so should we get the dads out? Yeah? All right, let's cue that track. Cue the tumbleweed. No, we don't have a tumbleweed. Here we go. All right, first up. He's married to the incredible wife, Jen. He has two kids, Lizzie and Zai. If you're not careful, he will knock you out because he is an anaesthetist. Will you put your hands together for Matt Vandy? Good on you, Matt. Secondly, he's married to the ageless and wonderful Dawn. His kids are Giselle and Caleb. He is now a higher degree graduate school officer working in the exams coordination. Would you put your hands together for our elder James Tan? And lastly, married to the wonderful Rinda. His son's name is Ben. He has a daughter-in-law named Andrea and a grandson named Jordan. He's a retired residential property valuer. Would you put your hands together for Paul Ho? It's a hoedown. All right, guys. Come on down. Have a seat. Welcome. Welcome to the barrel of truth. All right. Feeling good? Yeah. All right. Now, they're men, so they're going to be a few words. So I will ask them questions to draw that out of them. But why don't we kick things off. Before we get too serious, Matt, I want to ask you, tell us a good dad fail you've had. A period or an instance?
An incident.
Okay, yeah. just to clarify.
I forgot that a car seat wasn't in the car. So, didn't notice, you know, you sang them out, just sang them back in, and then drive back home and get the car seat in the car, and then go pick up. Thankfully, it wasn't close to daycare close time, because there have been periods before when, due to our jobs, during COVID times where I've gone to pick up and it's close time, and they was given the trade of, if you're late another time, you're going to start paying $1 per minute.
Ooh, and you were never late again. Yeah. Never late again. Awesome. James, what about you? You got one?
I think that is quite common because I just forgot my son 2 weeks ago and he's in high school. So I got there, he was not there. I was like, okay. He must have walked somewhere else. And then I got a call from his grandma saying that, oh, he's with me now. I'm like, okay, thank you, I didn't lose him.
So he's gone to grandparents. All right, thank goodness we found him. Paul, what about you? You got one?
Yeah, I've got one. I think Ben was in year two. We had to make a business trip to Melbourne. So I went to his teacher. I said, we are going to be away for 3 days. And the anxious Asian parent syndrome kicked in. And I said, hey, can you give us his homework for the next 3 days? The reading assignments for the next 3 days. God, I don't want him to fall behind. I mean, we are supposed to be the head, not the tail, right? And the teacher had this quizzical look and he said, look, all Ben has to do is to keep a diary and make a presentation of the things that he did in Melbourne. I said, what's all this? No homework? No reading assignments? What, did I just enroll him in play school? What's going on? So anyway, that's my fail.
So you considered pulling him out, putting him somewhere else. Yeah, that's it. Year two, 3 days away.
I know,
3 days away. No homework, unbelievable. Oh, my. Yeah.
He should be solving in quadratic equations in year two, you know?
Matrices, yeah. Calculus, introductory calculus, yeah. So good. Hey, Matt and James, why don't you tell me, what's one thing you love about being a dad that you did not expect?
A really good example for me, whenever I get home, when Elise was maybe about 6 months ago, she will dance once the garage door is opening, like at the entrance, like really this happy dance. Like that was, it always really make everything else like becomes like really seamless. It just gives me so much joy to see the happiness that me getting home brings to her.
Mm. Yeah, nothing beats coming home, hey. So good. What about you, James?
I think you are copying my answers, hey? But I think I love my kids giving me hugs up to this age. When they are like high school, they are like, nah, dad, nah, but still giving me hugs. So I think that's something I never really expected apart from my wife, but yeah.
Good that your wife hugs you as well, James. Amazing. James, we're going to stick with you. We're going to get a little more meaningful now. What's been a struggle for you, maybe as a man or a husband, as a dad, and what's God taught you through that?
Laying the hard stuff on me.
Hey. Yeah. So set the tone.
I think the hardest thing for me is, you know, being Asian, it's or maybe being every single dad, it's always, you know, socially, you're told to be the man of the house. Mm. You're like the man. And I learned it the hard way. It's because most of the time, we don't have all the answers, yeah. Right? And we try to have the answers. We find things on the internet. We ask Pastor Shannon. But we still don't have the answers. And
fair. That's fair. Really
Oops.
Fair.
Oops. God has the answers. And you know, yeah, being serious now, being serious.
Yeah,
now.
Paul, you
Come
just
on,
do
guys.
It. Oh my God.
Sorry, bro, sorry. But yeah, it's gotten to a point where at times where you know you feel helpless, but you know, apart from crying to God, you can't say, you know, I know everything. But you've got to surrender and saying that you have to say that, no, God, this is yours. It's not on me. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. Being a man that I've taken a long time to arrive at. I'm still 25, so yeah. So still a long way to go.
That's awesome. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think the greatest quality of us actually leading well is our ability to surrender control to God and recognize we don't have the answers, we don't have it all together, but the best way we can lead is to come back to God and say, okay, God is who is leading and is directing this family. That's awesome. What about you, Matt?
For me, I would say just culturally and family-wise, certain things handed down to us, I'd have to deal with those and also grow in them, because the struggles that we don't really deal with, we pass on to the next generation. From a legacy perspective, we talk about it a lot. We talk about legacy, maybe what we will pass on from blocks we think about, like the financial security or even the other aspect of security. So one thing I've actually grown up knowing is that performance mindset. So having to walk through that I don't have to perform to be valued and to have my worth. And it's this journey that is, I would say, to be honest, is ongoing. And a good example will be, like, for me, it's like Job. We go to the book of Job looking at it from a struggle perspective. But Job as a character was seen as, have you considered my servant Job? Was this postal person, but when the struggle came, Job also was presenting the things that he's done, the performance, why did this happen? I've done this, why will this happen to me? Learning through that, no, I will not really fulfill that connection that I want with a great God based on what I do. Like even him doing the sacrifices for the kids, coming from that performance mindset, so I was like, I just have to trust God and know His love for me is way deeper than whatever I can do.
So good. So good, Matt. That's right. You have to just keep coming back to, I'm loved by Him. I'm a son. I'm not a slave. I'm not a servant trying to appease a master, but I'm a son. Yeah, that's beautiful. Paul, tell us about how you journeyed when maybe you've come to realize a weakness, or you've discovered a weakness in yourself that's maybe affecting not just you, but your family. Like, how have you gone about changing or addressing that or bringing that to the Lord?
When we first arrived in 1990 as an immigrant family, there was many things that we need to navigate. One of the hardest for us, for me, was not being able to provide for the family, because Rinda had the job first. She got the job first. and hard for me to explain to my mother-in-law what, why I'm doing my home chores when her daughter is out there working from 9 to 5. So it took some time for well-meaning friends to help us recommend part-time jobs for me to do. So it was only after 10 years of arriving here that I got a full-time employment, and I worked at that job for 22 years. So the hardest part for me is, you know, being the man of the house, you're the hunter-gatherer, you're the provider. But we discovered very early that we have to switch roles so that we can function as a family. So I was home, you know, I take Ben to daycare, I go and look out the, for the specials that are in the supermarket, and I'll just buy them. You know, Asian people are very clever in saving money. And that is how we kind of survived through the years. We have many, many friends who helped us along the way as well, who offered us, you know, meals, looked after Ben for us while we were working. So we trusted God in a way that we have never done before. It is just a very new and raw beginning for us.
Yeah, well, I see the fruit of that now in knowing in the last 5 years. You're incredibly generous. incredibly generous. And so that's obviously built something in you, that ability to trust in the Lord as provider. And I see how you mentioned just the power of having that community around you that reminded you of who's provider, that then even came in to support and prepare meals and stuff. Would you say those are probably a couple of the key things that God's really taught you through that?
You see, we're part of a bigger family. And that bigger family became our support family. So in turn of giving back, we try to support people. We try to model for them. We try to mentor them. We try to point them in the right direction. We have had a failed business and almost sent us financially broke. Now we are in a position to be able to tell people, hey, you want to get into business, come talk to us first. Yeah. Let me point out to you the red flags. Yeah. And our failure did not be your failure. Yeah. So we pay for your tuition. Yeah. So just come and we have a chat.
That's awesome. There you go. Can you put your number up on the screen and just...
04.
Hey, I think just hearing from all of you, it's a real felt pressure as the man of the house to be the provider. And I think that's the constant wrestle for us, is staying in that place of, but ultimately God is provider, and it's our job to trust in him as in that space. But we're talking about work and that kind of thing. James, I want to ask you, how much work is too much? Like, how much is spending too much time? How have you worked out where you're time and attention goes?
You're asking an Asian, so no work is too much.
Yeah. a well-discipled Asian, okay? You got this, man.
I think it's going to be, it's always a give and take. And I always see it as like a weighing scale. So there are times where we've got to work hard, right? But there are times where you've got to balance it back with family, with your wife, your kids, and then we've got. So I think it's always an ongoing thing where you bank in and bank out, I guess. You work hard, say 10 hours because of a project, you give it back. You know, it's not like, oh, because I think it's not like having that thing about, oh, I'm just working hard just to build the bank for the family and we go for a big holiday, right? But more of, okay, I need to balance it with the daily stuff, because that's more precious to the kids and the wives than, okay, I'm gone for 3 months, and okay, let's go for a 2-week holiday in Japan, because that's somehow, to me personally at least, it doesn't help with the daily maintenance of building the love bank in that sense. Yeah,
that's huge. I think for guys, we can often think one big grand gesture like just quickly fills up the account, but actually no, it's the consistent, the little things, the quality time that's often in little quantities. Like, yeah, you're so right. And you're right, there are seasons where it does require a lot more of us, but when it doesn't, is that when we're then filling up our family bank account? Yeah, that's awesome. I think for me, what is a constant check is like, what's driving my, like, what's my motivation around why I'm working? Like, has my heart stayed pure in that? Or is it because I'm now trying to take the role of, I have to provide, I have to carry this family, as opposed to, well, what's the Lord asked of me? And am I trusting Him to provide in that space too? Yeah, beautiful answer, James. Thanks. Let's talk a bit about marriage and family as well. And Paul, how do you keep your marriage in a place where it survived the test of time? You guys are happily married, well, at least from what I see.
It's behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a very simple formula. You close one eye, and you shut the other. And then you say, yes, dear. I thought long and hard about that, you know, so.
It was good, it landed.
I first met Rinda in 1973. And from the moment I laid eyes on her, I had this unshakable feeling that we will end up together. So we got married in 1984, which makes me 99 years old today. We've been married for 42 years already.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah, that's amazing.
And all the small things really add up, and it matters. The small things such as happy wife, happy life is true. It is true. Take it from me. 42 years, I know something about getting married. Also, the things that we do date nights, we binge TV series. That's why sometimes we don't come for prayer meeting or whatever.
Wow. Wow.
But you'll see us this week. You'll see us this week. We finished the binge already.
He hasn't missed a campus prayer. I'll have you know.
I'm honest here. I'm really honest. Yeah. I'm laying it on her for you. And up to today, I still opened the car door for her to get in.
Wow.
Yeah. And it is, and she knows the way to my heart is through my tummy.
Amen.
So she's the undisputed master chef of my household. And we just work so well together. We serve together. We do ministry together. She is the glue. And I really say this with sincerity. She really is my better half. And I'll finish off with more give, less take.
Ooh, yeah. Amen.
That's, yeah.
Amen. That's God's heart, yeah. I love how you said you're doing date nights. In 42 years, still committed to date nights.
Yeah, we're on Eat Club, so, you know.
For those who don't know what that is, that's a discount food app.
Asian people know how to save money, really. Asian people, just go for it, man. 30% off. Like, why not?
You just lost a few Eat Club vouchers now because everyone's cooking.
Yeah, everyone's
now.
Just jumped on for lunch. This is a business, like financial advice panel. This is fantastic. I want to rewind a little bit. We were talking a little bit about that interrelational stuff and things. Matt, I want to ask you about apologizing, because I know for a lot of my parents' generation, wasn't super prevalent thing to do, but we recognize that it is. How have you learned to apologize well to your wife and kids?
Yeah, it's something that I've learned, that the relational part of our home is more valuable than my pride or ego.
Hey.
And culturally...
Wait, say that again.
culturally...
You're not going to say it again?
I said the relational part of our home.
Bro, I got the sheriff badge. You have to do what I say.
Sorry. The relational part of our home is more valuable than my pride and ego.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Mm. Huge.
And that is coming from someone, the model that I had is the male are typically always right, and they don't really speak much. Like, they're stoic, don't speak a lot, and so I had to journey through that and unlearn and learn new things along the way. Yeah. Another one that I go with is self-compassion makes me understand that I can fail.
Yeah.
And that self-compassion, apologizing, is also expressing that compassion for my home. Like that is, if I am going to express self-compassion to others, I have to practice it in my home.
Hmm.
Because knowing that I can fail, it's, as I said, that performance aspect, it's also a continuation to understand that I'm not always going to get it right, and I'm learning that self-compassion along the way.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful wisdom, Matt. Yeah, we just got that. That's fantastic. Matt, I want to stay with your young family. Kids are in primary school. You're anaesthetist, so busy job, busy workload. What does being planted in the house look like for your family? Help us out as other young families here.
So we, I'm thankful my wife and myself, we are committed to being planted in the house, and that looks like being in this room. One of the things that, like, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Mm.
So, and that's not just on Sunday. We make the effort every weekday prayer meeting, or those weekday sessions are also things that we want to be part of. And part of that too is we have the culture of we got to contribute in our own home. And this is our home, so we've got a culture of serving our home.
Yeah,
and so we got to model that by serving the house that we're going to be planted in.
Mm.
Another thing that has been practical is even building a culture where the kids are supported relationally.
Yeah.
So we've got good friends that we will say we even go on holidays with from church.
Mm.
And that also brings my aim is the core things that they may remember from church, which their decision, they will ultimately make their faith decision, is to understand that church was fun, I had good friends, there might be challenges along the way, but what are we investing in them to give them those things when they grow?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I mean, I love what you're talking about in terms of their friendships and their relation to the world, because you play that forward to when they're a teenager and that, and if they don't have any friends in church, why are they going to want to be here? And that's a huge part, that relational connection, having Christian brothers and sisters around them that helps build into them too. It's fantastic. And for you guys having, you know, teenage kids, James, and then you know, your grandfather now, Paul, tell us what for you guys has helped, or what do you feel like has been the role that you've played in helping your kids develop a genuine love for God?
We try to model for our son what it means to be a believer.
Mm.
We make coming to church on Sunday a priority. So while growing up, there's no sport for us on Sundays. We go to Connect, we bring him to Connect. We pray. We do daily Bible readings. And we get involved in the community by serving. So we model for him how this is your spiritual growth. This is your spiritual family. And the friends that we've made, your peers, I said they are your friends throughout this spiritual journey. They are leaders that you can turn to. And also I have an open door policy, meaning to say that I want him and encourage him to come to us when he needs support, when he needs encouragement, when he needs direction, so that he doesn't go and talk to his friends who highly likely will give him an ungodly advice or point them in the wrong direction. So for us, modeling is very important.
Modeling, and it sounds like you're also talking about being available, like having that trust and that connection where your son will and wants to come and talk to you rather than go somewhere else. Yeah, wow. James, what about you?
Well, I think it's the same, likewise for our family. Before we had kids, we really decided that church is going to be a priority. Our community is going to be a priority because we have benefited from that. Through tough times, good times, the church community is always there to support us. And we find that for growth, for support, that's a key element to life. And we say, when we have kids, youth, church is not going to be optional because we want them to build their lives with the community. And without being present in the community, then you can build that, right? So
That was our priority. As they pass through the different stages of life, now that they are teenagers, there are answers that I can't answer, right? I mean, from when they are young, they will come to dad and mom, "Mom, dad, what's this?" And we're like, "Yeah, we said so," right? But now, as they start to navigate different things that we might not have the answers, I will always tell them, you know, when the world challenges you, what does the word of God say? Because instead of asking ChatGPT as the authority, go back to the word of God, because ChatGPT is good, AI is going to be giving you all the answers that you want to hear, or it's going to be accumulated from any source that you can find. When that's pegged to your environment, to how you are growing up with, what's the standard? What's the baseline? And the baseline is always check with the word of God, not even with that. You know, ask that. That might not be right, but point back to the word of God and you measure that. Mm. So that's my principle.
Yeah, and in that, I guess you're really promoting them to own their own relationship with God, their own walk. Tell us a bit more about that. Like, how has your parenting changed as they become teenagers? You know, they're not kids anymore. They're teenagers. So how has your parenting changed the way you interact with them?
Well, just interestingly, I was just thinking about this this morning, and I had a picture. I always see pictures that God gives me, and God showed me a sheepdog, right? So I'm like a sheepdog. When the kids are young, you bark at them, right? It's like, rah, 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 rah. Maybe it's just me, but... And so you know you're building a perimeter around the kids because you are protecting them. But as they grow bigger, that perimeter grows bigger, you know, and barking doesn't work anymore because they're older, they'll be like, "Nah, I don't like this." Sorry, Caleb, but, but you know, you guys know what I mean. So, and I realized that then from shifting from a barking sheepdog, I start to challenge them. I say, what do you think about this? Oh, if this is the thing that you are being challenged with, what does the word of God say? And it's back to, okay, let's talk about this. I think Paul really brought up a good point about open conversations. And there'll be times when I tell them that's not the answer because I don't have all the answers. I'm not the authority. I will fail. But you have a Father in heaven that's not going to fail. So please go back to that. You know, come to me first. Let's talk about things. Mom is there. Let's talk about things. But, well, let's try and see what does the Bible say about this.
Yeah.
You know, and not what the world says, because the world's going to tell you many different things, likely the other way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's an incredible humility to be able to do that, and a clear trust in God. Because I know when we're wanting to be in control, we'll try and you should do this and that. But actually, being able to say, okay, well, yeah, I'm not sure. Like, this is what I feel, but let's see what God says. Let's see what the Word of God says. That's amazing. That really encourages me, too, James. Paul, what about you in the sense of, in terms of kids growing up in faith and things? Looking back, is there anything that you wish you'd started doing maybe when your kids were younger?
Well, looking back, I wish that we had helped Ben discover his spiritual gifts and help him nurture those gifts. Because we didn't learn until very much later in our spiritual walk about spiritual gifts, and about how the gifts of the Spirit are so relevant and important in our walk with God.
Mm.
So I wish we had done that earlier with him. And I also wish that we had a deeper conversation about his faith.
Wow.
Because we would like to have him continue our legacy of being not only being involved and being part of a church, but to invest, to sow, and to be more involved in serving and things like that. Well, different season, he's going through a different season now. His baby turns 4 months tomorrow.
Wow.
So it is our different season for us as well. We have to readjust our travel schedules.
It's really inconvenient.
Sorry. The travel schedule is not a holiday.
It's a ministry schedule.
So we travel once a year to Malaysia, to the lesser known towns, smaller churches, under resourced, and we teach them about the prophetic spiritual gifts.
Mm.
And But this year we had to move our travel forward because Jordan was born in May. And we find that just by doing this, that God has really put his hand on our lives as well, on our families. Wow. And that Jeremiah 29:11 is very real for our lives. Yeah. Absolutely real.
Yeah, his heart is to prosper you, not to harm you. Give you hope in a future. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, let's talk a little bit about continuing that thread around the generations. And Matt, what about you? What advice would you give to a man who hopes to be a husband and a father someday in the future? What would be your advice for them?
That's a tough one, but I think the one that I taught, the answer that I thought about for me is the goal is Christ, aim to be Christ-like. I think it's a big, it's a high standard, but there is no better standard. And how that looks like for me, I'm more into God's word. So through God's word, developing that connection, that relationship, and that brings in encouragement, it brings in strengthening and conviction, and also there are times that stretching. So that's, for me, being more Christ-like, and that being more Christ-like for other men who look different in terms of how you connect could be through listening to the Holy Spirit, or different ways, I would say, the goal for me is if we aim to be Christ-like, there is no better standard.
Yeah, beautiful. And we can get busy doing that. We can absolutely put our hearts and our time and our attention into that. And that's an amazing encouragement as a preparation. Like, yeah, I want to be a dad one day. I want to be a husband. What does that look like to really grow in God now in this season? Beautiful. What about you, Paul? What would you say?
For those who... Firstly, marriages and families are God's design for us.
Yeah.
We are not meant to do life alone. Having a helpmate, a friend, a lover, a support is very, very important. Firstly, if you want to get married one day, firstly, don't be unequally yoked. Because
elaborate on that for those that don't understand what
that means. Means to say that you're a believer, but your partner is not. Or your prospective spouse is not a believer. So you want to go to church, you want to go shopping. You want to go to church, you want to go to the movies. You see, that's how unequally yoked can create a miserable life for you. If you want to walk into the fullness of your destiny, you must be on the same page as far as your faith is concerned. Because why? When troubles come, you go back to the Word of God, you can pray together. You know, there's so much resource at your hand to be able to build a strong family. And I also feel that when you're looking for a prospective spouse, there is a spouse in the house, I tell you, that you just have to manage your expectation, all right? I mean, if you're a six, you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, you're laughing, but it's true. Just manage your expectation.
May I ask another question?
There's still hope. I'm a two, I got a 10.
I know. We are all punching above our weight. We are all punching above our weight. I mean, I am definitely, you know, so. But I think if you prayerfully seek, prayerfully ask, and prayerfully knock, God will reveal to you. And there's no such thing as the perfect mate. There is no such thing. Because if you find your perfect spouse, don't get married. Because you are going to spoil it. You're going to stuff everything up. So be realistic in your expectation and be purposeful. And you see, God says to ask, and to ask specifically the qualities that you want in your spouse. And I tell you guys, it doesn't help if you are a slob. It doesn't help if you don't keep the house clean. It doesn't help if you don't do the small things. But I also want to encourage you that there are plenty of fish in the ocean. You just have to manage your expectations.
Right. Going to put your number up for dating advice as well.
04.
All right. As we just sort of begin to come down and land this, James, what would you say to the dad or even the parent in the room today that feel like they're failing?
You're in good company, so I think no man has ever got it right. We always get it wrong most of the time because the wives are always right. But I mean, that's my honest truth. We learn along the way, but I think the main thing is to be humble and to say that, hey, I don't have all the answers. Wife, I need your help. Kids, I need your help. Let's journey together. And I think as long as you are honest about that, I think they are more willing to journey with us as a family, then you realize it's not about, oh, that leads the way and we are just following, but, oh, I can do this too. I can step up to the plate. Oh, mom, I can do this? You mean I'm allowed to do this? Dad, I'm allowed to do this? Oh, can I suggest this? And I think that really makes the whole life journey easier. And to be honest, if I had learned this way earlier in my 15 years old, I would have done this.
Yeah. That's beautiful. You know, I think of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. I think it was you actually shared that as one of your favorite scriptures that talks about God's grace is sufficient and that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so, therefore, I'll boast in my weakness all the more because where I'm weak, He is strong. And I think that's a beautiful encouragement for every single one of us. I think it's been touched on the humility, the acknowledgement of I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. And I know someone who's going to carry us through every single season, who's going to give us what we need, who's going to provide. And I think that's always where we come back to, right? That, yeah, we haven't got it all together. No one's expecting you to. But our responsibility is to run back to the Father, to run back to the source, to run back to the one who is our strength, who has all the grace that we need. And so I want to thank you guys so much for sharing. Thank you for the laughs, for the vulnerability, the honesty. Can we honor each of these guys, Matt, James, and Paul, you guys go ahead. So good.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.